God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We say that. Do we believe it? It's easy to say when things are going well. But what about in the hard times? What about in the times when we get a bad medical report? Unexpected death of a loved one. Facing cancer. Economic hardship. Is God still good then? Can we still say God is good? Let me tell you a story about a lady whose name was Carletta Bennett, and she was 38 years old. And she was riding out during the days of Hurricane Katrina when it hit the Gulf Coast. And she was riding out the hurricane in her attic with her family. The winds had blown her house off the foundation. The rising water was threatening to fill the whole house and flood the roof. And they went to the top of the roof where her and her husband and five kids could be for safety. And they were hanging out there in the top of the attic. Outside the house, two yards pecan trees had fallen around the house and had blocked it and wedged the house into place so it couldn't go anywhere. That's when Carletta's four-year-old daughter said, "Mom, we need to pray." She said, "Calm down, let's pray." So they prayed, and when they had finished praying, guess what? The waters immediately began to recede around them. And they started to recede. Eventually, the family was able to work their way back down through the attic steps into the house again. But they found that every exit that they tried to get out of the house was blocked by the trees, which actually happened to be a good thing because it kept the water and it kept the house from being flooded away. And it actually saved their lives the night before. Carletta's husband took the family by the hand and he led them out through a window, and all five members walked a few blocks to a local middle school that had become the local community rescue shelter. And there they spent and lived for the next 10 days. At the middle school, there were more than 350 people, and many of them were injured, living without running water or electricity for the next week and a half. The families would bathe outside from a water spigot, and only later did they find out that the water they were using was contaminated. Inside the school, the toilets refused to flush. The conditions became dangerously unhealthy, and after 5 days, most of the family moved outside where they lived on a parking lot for five more days without any air conditioning or heat, or in the heat. With their world in disarray, the world seemingly falling down around them, the Bennetts and other families began to pray for a miracle. In the face of such disaster, that was the only thing that they knew they could do. For more than a week, the Bennetts suffered in a forgotten corner of Biloxi, Mississippi. The nation's focus was on New Orleans, and that's where everybody was focused, and they forgot about the people elsewhere. A few reporters had waded through the waters of Mississippi to see the damage that was there. However, one local news team finally found families living in the middle school parking lot, and they showed pictures that soon beamed across the country. Reverend Matt Stacy was pastor of Antioch Baptist Church in a tiny town in Georgia, decided it was time to act. So he arranged for 8 buses to pick up the hurricane victims and bring them over to Georgia, where 259 people found hot food, comfortable beds, clean restrooms. Local schools and businesses began to donate shoes, clothing, and money and food. And Carlotta Bennett said it was like heaven, she said of her arrival there. She said, "That's all I got to say." She said, "They had food waiting for us. They had medicine. The next day I had medicine and had 2 beds in our own bedroom. And they took care of us." She said, "We prayed for a miracle, and it came." And then she said this, quoting her. She said, "After this experience, we just changed our life." Carlotta said, "We found the Lord. It was at this time I saw my life flash before my eyes in that attic. And it was at that time we did something different," unquote. Surrounded by the care they received in Georgia, the Bennett family prayed to receive Christ and were baptized on September 19th, 3 weeks to the day after they walked away from the hurricane that changed their lives. Carletta says she'll never return to her job at a casino in Biloxi. She says the entire family will be committed to Christ and active in a local church. You see, through their suffering, the Bennetts came to know Christ. Outside of their suffering and pain, they may never have heard the gospel and have never seen the love of God put into action the way it was. We never know why we have to endure sometimes suffering and hardship, but we can be rest assured that in all things, God does work everything out for good. And we can believe that. Romans 8:28 is a wonderful promise. Many of us can quote it. And in times of hardship, we turn to it for comfort. It's a wonderful promise. And when we go through those hard times, to know that God will and God does work all things out for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to our purpose, brings great comfort to us. Paul told us, and in putting this in the context of where we are in Romans, last week we looked at the fact that we are groaning for that day of redemption, and all of creation is groaning to be liberated from the suffering and decay. And he said that these present sufferings and the present hardship we're living in is not worth comparing to the future glory that's awaiting us. But we're living in this time of groaning. And Romans 8:28 is a great comfort to us to know that in this time, God does work everything out for the good. And it's a comfort for us. But what about when things are going good, we can say that. But what about when it seems that things are not working out for good? Have you ever had those times in your life when things don't seem to work out for good? And what about then? Is God still working in our life? Can we truly still say all things are for good even then? You know, Romans 8:28 is a great comfort and promise, but when things aren't going good as well, can we still believe that? While Romans 8:28 is a source of great comfort, it can often be misunderstood and misapplied. Because some think that this verse is teaching us that a Pollyanna view of life, that everything, we're to have a positive outlook on everything and put a smile on our face no matter what we're going through and say, praise God, God's going to work out a lot for good, it's okay, and go on like it doesn't really bother us. But you know, life is hard, right? And when we have that attitude that, oh, and put on and say, God's going, it's all going to work out for good, it denies the reality that suffering and evil is present in this world. And it denies the fact that people do experience legitimate grief and hardship. And to just quote and say to them, oh, God's going to work out a lot for good, and go on, it denies the fact that people have real pain. So how do we deal with this? Everything doesn't always turn out for good. Bad things do happen. So let's say what God has to say. But yet in all of it, God is still good. We believe that all the time. So what does this verse have to teach us? We're going to learn two realities this morning of God's goodness in the midst of everything, and then we can celebrate. And the first is the certainty of God's goodness. We can be absolutely certain that God is always good. Paul says, I know, for we know. That word know there is an assurance. It's, he said, what we learn and understand, perceive from experience. And Paul said, I've learned from my own experience in life that God is good all the time, and God is good in everything. You read the scriptures and read 2 Corinthians and look at all the suffering that Paul endured. And he said he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he had all kinds of suffering that he endured and went through, but yet all of it he could say, I've learned and I know that God's good in everything. And he understood that. He had that certainty. We know that God, works all things together for good of those who love him. The certainty of God's goodness, to understand that he works all things out for good. And that's this certainty that we can have. And Paul says we know that. We can be assured that, and the word working there means to aid, to work together with a goal, to help us to accomplish a certain goal or purpose. And God is working in our life to accomplish a certain goal or purpose we're going to get to here, but a certain purpose that he's looking for. And that word is the word which we get energy, synergy. But he note that he is, that word means that he uses all things for good, not that all things are good. And take note of that. He says, we know that all things, God works together, all things for good. He doesn't say that all things are good. Not everything that happens in our life is good. When people are abused, when people are sinned against, those are not good things. When sickness and hardship come in our life, those are not good things, but yet God can use them and turn them around for good. It does not mean that everything that happens is good, because evil is prevalent in our world. The word good here means something that is useful, profitable, or beneficial in our life. That God can use everything for something that is profitable, beneficial, or useful in our life. It does not mean happy, or it does not mean pleasant in this case. He works everything out for good because he uses all things for good, not that all things are good. And that's a key to understanding what he's teaching us in this verse. He uses the sweet things in life. And the sweet things in life are all those pleasant things, the things we like. And he uses those to work about his purpose in us, to refine us. And that's what we're going to discover, that his purpose is to refine us. His purpose is to make us more like himself. And he's using everything, and he can turn everything around, even bad situations, for a way to help us to love him more. But the sweet things in life are the pleasant things. And we love it when God uses the good things, the sweet things in our life. We love those, right? But what about the sour things? The sour things are those hard things that we don't like. There is a story about a young woman who prepared to go to missionary service. And she had been appointed by the mission board and was ready to sail when she received a telegram that her sister had died in a western state. So she canceled her reservation and she went home. The sister left her four children, and since there was no one to care for her, this young woman had to stay with them and take care of her sister's four kids and raise them. Her heart was broken. She had dreamed all her life of being a missionary. She was approved, she was ready to go, and now she would never have the chance to be a missionary and serve the Lord in the mission field. And her heart was broken. It was a sour time in her life. And she said, how was this good? However, she submitted to the Lord's will and did what was best. And she raised her nieces. But guess what? As they grew up, one by one, they came to her aunt saying, Aunt, I feel that God is leading me to be a missionary. So instead of one person going into the mission out as a missionary, because of her faithfulness to God, four went out. And all four of her nieces went out to be missionaries. And the work was multiplied fourfold time. And God uses the sour things of life for his good. We believe that. He has a good purpose that he sees that's known to him that we don't understand. And we can trust him in that. Have any of you ever heard of Amy Carmichael? I love Amy Carmichael. I love her story. She was a young girl lived in England, and her heart's desire was she wanted to be a missionary. And she had blue eyes. She had brown eyes. She had brown eyes, but she loved the color blue. And blue was her favorite. And every day she would get up and she would pray, Lord, make my brown eyes blue. And then she would get up in the morning and she would look to see in the mirror if her eyes were changed. God made her eyes blue. And they weren't. They were brown. And her heart would be sunk. Next morning, she'd say, Lord, make my eyes blue. And she got up next morning, they were still brown. And she thought, God didn't answer my prayer. Years later, she grew up and went to India to be a missionary. There she was serving, and she was watching, and she saw this temple where these kids were taken into this temple. And she said, what? And she asked them, look, she said, what's going on there? She said, these kids are being taken in, they're being made slaves. She says, well, somebody's got to do something about that. And she felt led to do something about that. So she disguised herself. She said, I'm going to go under disguise. She put coffee on her, darkened her skin, dressed in a sari, made herself look just like an Indian woman. And she was decided she was going to go undercover into this temple to try to save these kids. And the people was with her said, you know what? They said, it's a good thing your eyes are not blue. They said, if your eyes were blue and not brown, you would have been told, they would have been told that you weren't Indian. They would have gave you away right away. And she knew at that point, she realized, you know what? God had a good purpose in it. He uses everything in our life, those sour, unpleasant things, those things that are bad. And he can turn them around for good. In a message on Romans 8:28, in 2010, delivered by Randy Alcorn, who many of you know, he mentioned a couple people in his message, but one he mentioned is somebody we all heard of, and that's Johnny Erickson Tata. And you know her story, that at the age of 17, in a diving accident, she lived right here in Baltimore, and in her diving accident, how she was paralyzed from the neck down. And she could have gotten really bitter, and she did. She went through a lot of pain, and she still, if you listen to her radio programs, Johnny Friend talks about the pain and the agony she even bears still. But yet, through that experience, as she dealt with all of that, eventually she has a ministry now, not only to the disabled, but on top of that, you realize several years ago she got breast cancer and had to deal with those complications. And she said to Randy Alcorn, she said, I've had a ministry to disabled people for many years, but now I have a ministry to people with cancer too. And she saw how God can use that pain and sour things even for good. He uses the sinful things in life. And those times when we are sinned against and people wrong us and say, well, how can God use those for his good purpose? An illustration from there is the story of Joseph. Everybody remember the story of Joseph? Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was his dad's favorite. He gave him the coat of many colors. And his father, his brothers were jealous. So, you know, they captured him. He went out. His father sent him to check on the brothers, and when they came, they captured him. They put him into the pit. They were going to kill him. Decided they'd sell him into slavery. They sold him into slavery. You know the story. Eventually, God exalted him to become prime minister of all of Egypt. The day came when there was a famine in Judah, and the 12 brothers came from Canaan. They came down to Egypt to buy food. And when finally Jacob and Joseph revealed himself, the brothers were afraid. And Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. You intended this for evil, but God did this to prepare and to save us and prepare us for this day. And God turned that for good, just as he can do all those things in our life for his good purpose and will. And surprisingly so, God uses the satanic, can use the satanic things for his good purpose. You say, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean there? Well, in a case of the mob, when Jesus was being crucified, and Jesus had to come and give his life. And how was that going to be fulfilled? Satan possessed him to betray Jesus and turn him over to the authorities. As they stand before the authorities, the crowd said, crucify him, crucify him. And Satan was behind that. Satan was motivating them. But yet, it was fulfillment so that God's plan, God could use that to bring about God's plan and God's goodness. God is working and can work through all things for his good. And his purpose in all things is good. Notice what he says, that God, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. And God is working not to make us happy. And understand this, that God is at work in your life and mine, not to make us happy, not to make us problem-free. He never guaranteed us that. He is working to fulfill his good purpose in us. And that's what he's seeking to do. And his good purpose in us is to make us more like him. We're going to see that next week when we go into the next couple of verses about what God's plan, predestined plan for us is. But his purpose is to make us more like him. And his purpose is good. He is for you and has a good purpose. And we may not see it at the time, and we're in the middle of a heartache, and we're in the middle of bad things happening to us. It's hard for us to believe that God has a good purpose in store for us, but he does. And we can believe that. And he's working it out, and he'll bring it about in fruition. His purpose is that we trust him. And it takes trust to say, when things are bad around us, just as Horatio Spafford, when he lost his children, and he said, whatever my lot, God has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And I can still trust you. And his purpose is for us to trust him, even when it's hard to. And to align with him. And sometimes he allows those things, bad things, to happen in our life for us to bring ourselves into alignment with God and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Have your way in me. I just give it to you. I'm going to align myself with your purpose. I don't know what it is, but you do. I'm going to trust that you'll work it out. And our purpose is to grow in him, to become more like him, to refine us, can be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus, and into his likeness. And our purpose is to glorify him. Paul said to rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll tell you again, rejoice, not just when things are easy. It's easy to rejoice when things are easy, but it's really hard. It takes faith to rejoice when things are difficult. And remember, Paul wrote those letters, those words, rejoice in the Lord always, from to the Philippians. He was in jail. He was in jail when he wrote those words. And when he was in Philippi, arrested for the faith, he praised God at midnight. The Philippians had seen him live that faith out. He was an example to them, and they understood it. They had seen it. And so, glorifying him, that's his purpose in all things. And his good purpose is good for us. It will ultimately be accomplished. Nothing or no one can ever thwart God's purpose. His will be done. And the second reality we learn is the second part of this verse, is that the conditions of God's goodness. And let's look at this first, because this is how it's often misunderstood as well. When he says, we know that all things, God's works in all things for the good, not that all things are good, but he works them out for a good purpose. But notice the second part of this verse. There's a condition. Does it say we know that God works all things for the good of everybody? No, it says, for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. There's a key here. There's a condition. Sometimes people throw this verse out and say, and claim it for everybody and say, oh, we know God works out the good for everybody. No, he hasn't promised that. He works everything out for his good purpose for those who love God, for those who love him. If you are a child of God and you love him, you can be assured that God is working his good purpose in you, and he will. But he doesn't work everything out good for those who don't love him. But he will for those of us that do. That's the certainty, the promise that we have. And for those who answer his call, which is who have been called according to his purpose. That God calls and has a purpose for us. And when we answer his call, he is working out his good in us. And we may love him, but are we fulfilling his purpose? Are we answered his call that he's given us? And his call for us is to be fulfilling the purpose of our life. And he's called us to be saved, first of all, the call to salvation that he offers to all who will. And he answers that call, and that invitation is open. And when we hear that call and we respond to it, but also it's a call to be sanctified, to be like Jesus, and to continue to grow. And when he uses the good things and the hard things in life to help us to become more like him. Just a little glimpse ahead into what's coming next week, but let's just drop down a verse. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to what? To be conformed to the likeness of his son. And that's what God's purpose is. That's what he's doing. And those who he's called is to be conformed into Jesus. And that's the good purpose that he's doing. Everything in our life is to conform us, to make us more like Jesus. And he's working in our life to do that and to see bring it about. And we have that promise and we have that assurance. So today, as we celebrate God's goodness, we know, we are assured, we can be certain that God works everything out for good, for his good, not ours, but his good, for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this promise you've given us, that you work everything out for good. That doesn't mean that everything that happens to us is good. And it doesn't mean that we'll always be happy and that we enjoy it, because some things just aren't good. Life isn't good all the time. And we need to acknowledge that and be real and be honest about that. In this world, we will have tribulation and heartache. We're not exempt from it. But yet, in eyes of faith and in heart of faith, we can believe and know and be assured that you are working together with us and in us to bring about a purpose, which is good for us, because you've called us and we've heard that call. And your purpose is to conform us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. And so use everything in life, the sweet things, the sorrowful things, the sin, even when we're sinned against, you can teach, use us that to help us to show more grace, to be grace and forgiving to those who have sinned against us. But you use all those things, Lord, for our good. Help us, Lord, to see that and to realize that and to rejoice in your goodness always. For all my life and all of our life, you have been faithful. And you are so, so good. So with every breath that we are able, we will sing and declare of the goodness of you, our God. And we thank you and praise you for who you are, for your word that remains ever true to us, and that you are good all the time. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.